Hey guys, just wanted to share a message from our sponsor. Anchor is the easiest way to make a podcast. Anchor gives you everything you need in one place for free, which you can use right from your phone or computer. The creation tool allows you to record and edit your podcast so it sounds great. They'll distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard everywhere. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and many more. You can easily make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. That's anchor.fm.
Acting Class Weekly with legendary character actor Sean Whelan. Lessons, tips, and insight into the craft and business of acting from a man who's been directed by the likes of Spielberg, Eastwood, Tim Burton, Ang Lee, Michael Bay, Wes Craven, Tom Hanks, and many more of Hollywood's A-list. He is 30 years an actor and your professor, Sean Whelan.
Roxy?
Sean?
I broke out the blue jacket today.
I know you did. It's a special day.
I broke out the blue jacket, the fancy French blue jacket, and why? And I always have a reason, but I'm not allowed to go too long because Jeff gets mad if we get too wacky. Which is that it's because it's flashy and fun, because every time that I go see our special guest, Lisa Beach, casting director Lisa Beach sitting next to me, I honestly sometimes feel bad for actors who maybe don't know her, because we are not very polite in terms of going, hi, how are you? Good to see you. It's Lisa, Sean, how's your daughter at college? And so if you were sitting out there in the waiting room, you might be like, oh, I'll never get this because they're such good friends. But we're loud and pretty obnoxious every time we see each other, because we have so much fun. We've known each other for years. We even did the thing where you remember Scott Boland was in here and he went back and he found the first audition. It's so far back we don't even...
You don't know the first time you were in her room.
I literally don't know, but we've known each other for easily 25, 30 years, right?
Yeah, but I've known about you for a lot longer than that because, I mean, you truly are my... I will never, ever, ever forget, like, Aaron Burr. I mean, I know you get that all the time, but I swear to God, I still, sometimes I say Ellen Burr.
You know? And people say that all the time.
You know, so...
And we just, every... It's the funnest thing to go... Yeah, you got an audition. It's with Lisa Beach. You're like, yes, because you get to, you know, it's going to be a blast. It's always a blast.
Thank you.
And that's what we're talking about today. We're just going to pick Lisa's brain on, you know, as you guys know, I've done things about auditioning, and I ran it by Scott Boland and Vicky Burrows, and I want to run it by Lisa and see. Every casting director is different, but they always also bring anything. And I certainly don't want to teach something that I feel like if a casting director goes, that's nothing like an audition or a way an actor should be, I want to get corrected as well. So we're going to pick her brain and see that. And then at the very end, we both had the pleasure of working with a sweet, wonderful man, Wes Craven. We're going to talk about that a little bit. So, but before we get into talking to Lisa, the casting director, want to remind you that I'm working with Miss Phenomenal, Roxy Stryer.
Thank you so much, Sean.
Who is that? Well, give me a percentage. You would say 85?
85.
Is that...
That's very kind of you, sir.
Really?
I think so.
Really? Where do you feel like you're at?
I feel like I'm at a solid 50.
But the fact that you're pushing through, that's very good. Mr. Fantabulous in the booth, always 110%.
You know, not always 110% faking it.
That's true.
Knock on wood, the only time I got fairly sick this year was during our like holiday sort of time where the studio takes off time, so I was able to be sick. And
you're so lucky.
Very impressed, Rox. You are...
You're a fighter.
She's a fighter. Never one to not push through, which... Sean, you can talk a bit. That's important for talent, you know?
That is important for talent. If you... You know, sometimes... And I've heard this from casting director Lisa before we go into Sean's week. Will you tell us this? I've heard that sometimes it... Because people are more relaxed and tired, they do kind of... When they're under the weather a little bit, they give better performances because they don't... Because they don't have that like nervous energy, they're like, ugh, "I'm fine. I'm just going to get through it." And because of that, this not caring is actually works in their favor.
Yeah, but as long as there's just still a little bit of heightened, okay, it's an audition.
Yeah,
but it's like I feel crappy audition.
But you're just
willing to just say, you know what? If I don't get it, I know why I didn't get it.
Yeah,
as opposed to the other way.
Or the worst thing to do, and I know we're jumping ahead a little bit, but walking in and going, listen, I didn't know how to prepare because I'm really sick, and no one wants to hear that. No one wants wants to hear the sob story.
No.
So just go in there, do your best, and if you don't get it, you know, or if you get bad feedback or sometimes, then you could say, well, she was really sick, and you, then you're impressed, and you go, wow, they
right.
came in, as opposed to going, I didn't get to read it, I didn't get to do this, I didn't, you know. And Roxy, not much of an excuse maker. So.
No, I only texted you guys because I was like, vocally, you're going to know. You're going to know. I'm not able to hide this Yoda Kermit voice yeah. that I have going on. Otherwise, I wouldn't have said anything and yeah. showed up. Hello.
I will say for the podcast listeners that we have a beautiful box of tissues on the table just
that
to celebrate
is.
Roxy's resilience.
Yes.
And fun fact, Rachel Brosnahan actually got the role of Mrs. Maisel incredibly, incredibly sick. She
yeah.
tells the story like crawled out of bed on all fours to get the
wow.
part. So, Roxy, when your Maisel audition comes, we know you'll be there.
Thank you,
and
friend.
The one,
thank
I,
you.
The one I know right off the bat is Gene Kelly doing Singing in the Rain with Pneumonia.
Wow.
That's the fact.
If he can do it, I can do
there
it.
There you go. Yeah,
exactly.
And Mr. Fantabulous, when are you going to start the rain over Roxy, right?
Oh, yeah. It'll be
the rain machine.
And fun fact, filled with milk as well, so it shows up on camera. That's
yes,
what they had
exactly.
to do for Singing in the Rain. Crazy.
All right. So,
yeah, fun facts.
It's
right?
really
okay. So let's get into my week, and I think we have to do a struggle vibe.
Yes.
It's got to be a struggle vibe, but struggling but persevering vibe. I don't know what that's going to mean to you three. Are you ready? One, two, three.
Sean's week.
Ooh, I like the you went James T. Kirk. Mr. Fantabulous.
Love it.
Right?
Yeah, he kind of did.
He doing, he did that. The spoken word,
yeah.
which is very interesting. Lots of coaching this week. I've got a lot of self-tapes that I'm helping people with. I was doing that. My sketch troupe, I got two more people coming in. I have an abundance of sketches for the sketch show that we're doing. I literally have to tell them to stop writing. We have so many funny sketches. And our show is going to be at the beginning of April, so now we're going to start rehearsing. It's really, really fun.
That's amazing because sometimes I feel like it's a struggle for you to pull out the right amount of sketches, and then sometimes you have so many.
Yeah, and now I'm over. And this one sketch show we thought we were going to, because we only did it once, we were going to definitely take a lot of the sketches from that show to pad the new. We can't. We have too many. So now I'm going to have to add shows to even cover all the material. So that's always a great feeling when they have a lot of stuff that you're all excited about. So that's fun. And then I'm getting ready for my Memphis workshop in a couple weeks. I'm doing my improv show, and we're calling...
This is the corporate one again, Sean?
No, this isn't the corporate one. This is Forrest Pruitt, who I've talked about, doing the improv show. But for the first time, Forrest is going to have his improvisers do a showcase. We're going to do a showcase, and we're inviting people. Because I said, listen, I've come and done all these workshops. I want to show... Let's get an audience and get some casting people in there and stuff. So that's really, really fun. And then I'm having so much fun just creatively on TikTok. That's so much fun. It's just getting my brain going, and I'm actually learning directing and editing, and you know, I'll have an idea and how to piece it together, which is great for Crust. So it's like a little learning thing for Crust. I love it.
This is what you said to me right before the show started. You said, do you follow me on TikTok?
Oh yeah.
I said I don't use TikTok. He says, well, you need to get on just to see what I'm doing.
That's
on
exactly
there.
Right.
Which honestly I intend to this very afternoon.
Yeah.
I have to see what you're doing.
Yeah, new followers today.
There you
for
go.
Sure. Yeah.
You guys will love it. It's really silly. And then the funnest thing yesterday I was privy to go to Never Been Kissed, the musical. It's in LA. It's for a couple more weeks. Look it up. It's so much fun. They wanted to obviously have cast members there and meet the cast. It's just a blast. It's a Sunday brunch. It's down in Los Feliz. I'm blanking something. The
Rockwell Table and Stage.
Thank
yes.
you.
It's at the Rockwell?
Yes. So great.
Sean.
I realized Psyche on Vine is a perfect place to do that play there. Why? What about?
I just love it there.
And you have to go.
I'm
it's
very excited.
So much fun. It's so much fun. It's
okay.
a really fun musical. They're so talented.
Did they shout you out from the audience?
They did a prom. They did a prom king thing, and so I got a little cramp. And then so when they're doing they had the prom king, and then they gave the princes out, and they gave me one of the prince crowns.
You're
and
a prom
did
prince.
I'm a prom prince. Signed by it was a Burger King thing signed by the cast. So it was
oh,
very
wow.
fun. I don't want to go too long because we got a lot to talk about with Lisa. But before we do, Since we talked about audiences and fun, you guys are fun and audiencey as well.
That is so true. They are fun and audiencey, Sean.
Are my transitions getting better?
Amazing.
I'm a horrible podcast.
You guys at home, we do this because you guys are here. You've been such an incredible audience, a fun audience.
There you
yes.
go. Thanks for
and
working
we read,
it.
We give shout-outs every week to people who are writing comments on Apple Podcast or on YouTube. So this week I wanted to shout out Mandy9971, who says that this is great for TV fans. You're going to really like this one, Sean, I bet. She says, I'm a huge TV and film fan with no plans to act, but that being said, wow. you don't have to be to enjoy Acting Class Weekly. I love the behind-the-scenes info, Sean's story from the set, and advice that can apply to all areas of life, like persistence, working through the difficulties, and practicing good mental health. This podcast has given me a greater respect for the craft, great life advice, plus a long list of movies I need to watch. 5 stars.
Mandy! Wow.
Isn't that
yeah.
great?
Wow. That is fantastic.
With all the exclamation points in the world in there, too. If
Thank
I was less sick, I would have
so
shouted the
you
whole thing.
You would have shouted them.
Mandy, we really appreciate this. And to
so
anybody who's leaving
that.
Comments, we've gotten so many comments recently,
so
Sean.
Wow.
We're very grateful. Keep putting them in there, and we will shout every single person who writes a comment on Apple Podcast out in the weeks to come on this show. Thank you guys so much. 5 stars, thumbs up, subscribe, all that great stuff. We
Yay.
Really appreciate it.
So we're going to jump in. We went to a little coffee and we were talking about, you know, acting and the whole thing. Guys, you know, I always, and we already mentioned this, we always talk about how we met, and we just can't remember. It's because we've just known each other forever.
Yeah. We can't even guess. I'm trying to think
of
it.
Honestly.
Wow.
I know that if I dated him, I was really excited. I was like, oh my God.
If we went back to...
Oh, it has to be.
So it had to be, obviously, after the milk commercial then, right?
Yeah.
It would have to be.
Well, that was...
Because I was acting before that a couple years, but it was mostly commercial. And I didn't get... And I was probably with Pam Ellis? Was I with Pam?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
was that long ago. Yeah.
If I was with Pam, for sure.
But I remember when it was the opportunity and you were submitted. I saw your picture, because in the old days we used to get stacks of headshots.
Yeah.
And it was like... Sean Whalen, I know this guy. We totally have to bring him in for this part.
That's amazing.
And we did, and that's, I mean, whatever
it was.
And
we had a blast from literally time one, and then we've just, every time we come in, we just laugh and talk, and we know all of each other's lives on Facebook friends and
exactly.
the whole thing.
Exactly. So,
ooh, Facebook official
Yes,
friends.
Facebook
yeah.
official friends.
Facebook
and then, so really briefly, we always like to just take a couple minutes. Can you tell us how did Lisa Beach get into casting? Do you remember how, like,
oh,
the...
absolutely.
Okay.
Every, like, date.
Okay.
Let's see. All right. Long story short, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I wanted to get married and have 5 kids, but that wasn't happening. And
okay.
so nobody was asking. And so I I did have a boyfriend who worked in the business, and we went down. He was working on a movie called
And
Vault.
Where are you located at this time? Are you living
at that
in
point,
L.A.?
Well, I'm going to jump to the
okay.
when we got to L.A. We
okay.
were in New York. And
You're in New York.
We were
okay.
in New York. And then he was working on a movie called Volunteers, the Tom Hanks and Rita
yeah.
Wilson. Went down to Mexico to live with him for 3 months while he was doing that. And I met the director, who then said, why don't you be my assistant when you come back to Los Angeles? And we moved to Los Angeles. And then he was casting a movie that David Rubin was casting.
David Rubin,
my first boss.
Yeah.
And David,
the nicest guy
on the planet. And
yep.
so David hired me on October 20th, 1986 to
wow.
be his assistant. And I said, David, I don't know anything about casting. He said, I will teach you everything you need to know.
Wow.
And it was so great to start with him. And our first movie was Little Nikita with Sidney Poitier and River Phoenix.
Oh my
and,
God.
And, you know, one thing led to another, and then I, you know, branched out. And our first associate, our assistant, was Debbie Zane.
Deborah Zane. I love Debbie Zane.
And we found her through a complete fluke, too. And so it just...
It started a long time ago.
It's
Hollywood casting royalty, which is wild.
You didn't grow up thinking, like, okay, I want to be in this industry. I just don't know how.
What happened was that my mother and I went to see Sleeper back in, like, 1975 or whatever it was. And the screen said casting by Lynn Stolemaster in the dark. And my mother turned to me and she said, now, wouldn't that be a fun job? And she said, why don't you write to her? And, you know, of course, nobody knew that Lynn Stolemaster wasn't a woman.
Yeah.
And so I thought, that would be a great job. But I totally... never pursued it, never failed
wow.
it. I, you know,
how
again,
weird.
I want to get married and have
See,
5 kids.
That's your vision board, too. We were talking about that.
My vision board,
All right, because Lisa called me out because I said I used to have the biggest crush on Maria Menounos, like huge.
And she was on your vision board.
And now, exactly. And that's what she said. Right. She said she was probably, and that's why she's in your life doing your little intro right now. So that's crazy. So I'm just going to run down just a few. 17 again, Horrible Bosses, Hannah Montana the movie, About Schmidt, Scream 1, 2, 3, Girl Interrupted, Election, one of my favorite Alexander Payne movies, sorry, Citizen Ruth, I love that movie so much.
Yeah.
So funny. Yeah, so Lisa's done a lot of TV, tons. Look her up, you'll see.
It's an unbelievable resume.
Yeah, it is.
Thank you very much.
It is.
Appreciate
it's really great.
I mean, we've had some amazing.
And the great thing is, it's all. And I'll tell you guys, I have told you guys about the date idea, and we're going to talk about that a little later. But man, Lisa would just make you comfortable. But it's so smart because if we're not comfortable, we're going to give a crappy performance. So there's no reason to be uncomfortable. But let's start breaking down. So what do you – so I did a bunch of different things, and I'm just going to reference these podcasts and see what you feel about them. So understanding a scene, how can you tell, like when a guy or girl walks in to do a scene, that they – understand the scene, like they just get it?
Well, that's a great question.
Okay.
Because what I always suggest an actor do is consider the source of your material. Like, is it a multi-camera comedy?
Yes.
Is it a single-camera comedy? Is it a procedural drama? Is it a, you know, a movie?
Know the genre.
Yeah, know the genre and know your casting director, because I think that if you take a look at what your casting director has done, you'll see what she hasn't, he or she hasn't done. So therefore, you haven't seen me do soap operas. It's just a different style of acting that my eye doesn't see. But the stuff that I do, as well as the stuff that I, you know, I'm obviously sending you the sides for, the audition material for.
Yeah.
You need to know exactly what the tone is and exactly what the, you know, what to look for. So, you know, and you need to get as close to the plane of that reality. Is it the reality of drama? Is it the reality of multi-camera?
Right.
However those are played.
Yeah.
That's what you have to know.
That is the first takeaway. We've never heard that before. Research the casting director. We always say, look at the director and the producer.
Yeah,
but what a great idea to look at the casting director to see the kind of tone and the kind of work they do.
Right.
That's
I put myself in a box like I think actors should put themselves in a box.
Yeah.
I find that a lot of actors think they can do comedy, but they can't.
Right.
But then a lot of comedy actors can do drama.
Right.
I don't know why they are able to make that transition.
It's an easier transition.
It's an easier transition than somebody who has innately got more of a dramatic soul, spirit, whatever, who just can't jump into comedy the way a comedy person. I can think of a lot of examples. Who then, like Adam Sandler.
I mean, Jim Carrey. You know, I haven't seen
Uncut Gems.
Was it great?
He's excellent.
He's excellent.
I run it.
Yeah.
Well, and Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Because I literally, when they did, he's in the bubble, Jim Carrey. Why am I forgetting?
Truman Show.
I was like, this isn't a dramatic role. I mean, he's still doing a goofy-ish Jim Carrey, but when I saw Eternal Sunshine, I was like, oh, he can.
Oh,
I was
totally.
Wrong. I was wrong. I was like, he'll never be able to, you know, I was a snarky know-it-all in my 30s, but when he did Eternal Sunshine, I was like, wow, he's amazing.
But that's interesting you say it, because so you don't think any dramatic actors can jump into the comedy?
She said it. But, yeah.
No, I'm asking a question.
Sorry.
For the most part, I find a lot of people who are heavy drama or seriously dramatic or have more of a, I don't know, there's something I find that, you know, you've got an innate spirit that's either half full or half empty, but I don't mean half empty is a bad thing. I just mean you just are a little more solemn or serious, or you more spiritually peaceful, or I don't even know what I'm trying to
say. It's kind of funny that, like, how desperate, you know, the dramatic actors are trying, like John Hamm, Chris Maloney, they really want to show that they can do comedy. They really want to show that.
You don't think
that
John Hamm can do comedy?
No, but after Chris Maloney left Oz and the
SVU.
All he did, he refused anything, and he just, because a friend of mine is friends with him, and just dove in a million percent into comedy. And John Hamm did the same thing when he was on Mad Men, because he was smart enough to go, the Mad Men character was so iconic,
right?
So he just wanted to bust it. I think it's a way to, like, spread out your, you know what I mean?
Well, Lisa, what would be your advice then for somebody who is a dramatic actor who thinks that they are ready for comedy? Is it not to come in for you? Is it to talk to their agent and see if they're on the same page? Is it to take 2 years of groundlings before they even think about coming in your door for a comedy scene?
May I have a sip of your tea before we continue?
I don't know if you want to sip my tea.
At this point, I don't really care.
I'll run some in.
Just because I don't.
Yeah, it's got the germs.
I don't want to get. I can Purell my.
Oh no, it's all
right. They'll bring it in right now.
I'm so sorry. What was the question? It was more like a dramatic actor who.
I'm asking what your advice is for a dramatic actor who wants to get into comedy, thinks that they're ready. Do you think they should stay in their box and not try, or do you think that they should give it a shot?
Well, I think that every actor these days is told by his agent to go to a Groundlings class or a UCB or a Second City or whatever.
I've said this a million times. You got to do a little bit.
You've got to try it. But at the same time, I also think that there are people who just aren't, they just innately aren't that person. And I think that that should give them an idea. So when I see on a resume that they've only got UCB 101, or, you know, I would love to see that they've gone through the whole program. Thank you so much. If I see that they've done 2, 3, 4, and then they're now on the main stage, then I know they're funny. Then I know that they've gone through the process. But if they haven't gone through the process and they only do it once, it's just to make commercial casting directors think they can be funny or can do commercials and
right.
do big shrimp acting.
I've told this guys a million times, and I do, when I go to Playhouse and say, listen, I'm teaching a sketch comedy class, I go, take it for 3 months, guys. Just, you got to flex that muscle. You got to be able. I know I've said this before. I know an actor friend of mine who says, I only do drama. Man, he's having a tough time. It's just limiting.
Well, that is true, but at the same time, the chances are you probably aren't going to get that part. Because if it's, it depends. Is it multi-camera comedy? Is it more being the Leslie Nielsen character in Airplane?
The straight
guy who actually is probably more of a
dramatic
guy anyway,
yeah.
but who can deliver the comedy straight line.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to another thing. Wardrobe. How do you feel about how much we should dress? We were talking about Danny, and I brought him up with Victoria Bruce, who's because he's so fantastic.
Yeah.
He can get away with it. What do you, you know, would you be, how dressed for the part should we be when we walk in?
Does anything
throw you, or do you care that much if they?
You know what? I think I probably appreciate more if you were going to do a self-tape and you came in and you were dressed like the nurse. Not you particularly dressed like the nurse.
Right.
But I would find I remember Craig Bierko auditioned for something for us, and he actually got the part of a Hungarian director. It was a David Dobkin movie,
okay.
And he used his entire apartment, and he dressed in a flowery. He just became that character, and his self-tape was fantastic, and it totally won him the part. I can think of a couple of other actors who have truly lived it, but when you come in, it feels a little weirder, a little odder. I mean, you know, to completely come in costume, but because we rarely...
It rarely happens.
You know, if you don't need to come in as a nurse if you're being a nurse, or you don't
right. Yeah. But an essence, do you like some sort of essence?
Just a hint. I mean,
like
we
if I'm a cop, what I do when I get a cop thing, a policeman thing, I wear a dark shirt and a dark tie. You know,
fine.
Buttoned up
Great.
To the top, like that's
totally.
Enough.
Totally.
Okay.
Fine. Yeah.
So just an essence you're saying is what you're most comfortable. All right. Here's the big question, and this was the big debate: off book. Or paper in hand, or whatever. I've always said, I had to work with a woman the other day, and I said, listen, they are not casting memorizers of words. They're casting the character. If you need to look down a couple times, but you're still there, and you're that person, and you're living it out, that's way more important than if you flub a word, or a then, and or something like that. I said, so... You know, if you walk in there, put it down on the ground, the script, and you keep messing up your lines, then hold the paper. Do you know what I mean? That's what I think. So what are your thoughts on Vicky and Scott were saying, if you know it, don't hold the paper. If you don't know it, then use it, whatever. Like, what are your thoughts on, do you even think about it that much?
I do think about it. Both Sarah, my business partner, and I think about it a lot, only because I feel that if you have the paper in your hand, it means that you are fluid and able to be directed, and you're not inflexible, and you haven't rehearsed it so much that every time, you know, your character says the word egg, that you put
you
your hand up
certain,
in the air, you have a certain thing to do. I find that there's much more fluidity. I think psychologically, it's more important to see see the essence of what you would do as opposed to knowing that you have everything down pat. And then it kind of screws you up if you were to miss a line or two or a word or two.
Because you have nothing to just
Because you have
grab.
Nothing to go back on. And then we have to start again. And it's just, you could totally feel like the hammock start in a scene. And it's just like the air just goes out of the room. And it's like, okay, happy to start over again. But you know
So you'd rather have someone with the paper.
Will you say that to them if they're in the room? Will you say, would you mind grabbing your sides?
No, I mean, I
give them the shot, right?
I'll give totally give them the shot if they do a great job. That's great. And they either need to be directed or not. And I usually, you know, we usually do two takes of everything. And, it, you know, sometimes we don't, but because it's just like, oh, my God, you're great for this. But when we're doing it the second time, it's I like to see how well they can be directed so that I can tell the director how well they would be directed on the set. And also, you know, just to see how fluid they are.
What about in a self-tape? Would you rather them not have the pages in their hand?
You know, it's funny because I actually think it looks odder to see the paper in hand on the self-tape. So most people do audition fully realized.
In the self-tapes.
In the self-tape.
Because they're
not
getting notes.
They're not getting notes, but I also want to make sure that they haven't taken it. You know, it's not take 23. We got a take 23 once. And we just thought, why would we hire somebody?
Right, who let it, they let it known by accident. Because when they did it, they did some on their digital thing. They sent the 23rd take of that. So only one of them. So it showed, not that they sent 23 takes.
No, I get it.
But they took take 23 and was like, oh, I guess he won't be doing very well on the set, really. And so, so be smart about that.
Even
but
if
also,
you did, you know, you're showing.
You probably shouldn't, you know, do more than a couple takes because you would not get that opportunity, you know, in a room. So why not do more than a couple takes?
And, you know, rehearse before you tape it.
Totally. But at the same time, I would assume that if somebody flubs their first take, you don't want that to be sent to you. You want a take that they feel proud of.
Right,
so
exactly.
Hopefully that comes by the third take.
Yeah. You should have. That.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or you can rejigger the number.
Yeah. Right,
but if I'm going to hire you off the tape, I have to know that I can recommend you for the director. So that between action and cut, you're a terrific actor and you're right for the part. And yes, we can hire you off the tape. But between cut and action, I want to make sure that you're going to be good on the set.
Yeah.
You know, that you're not going to be a complete.
We talked about this before, that 70-30, that 70, and we talked about this at coffee, 70%. Are you someone I want to work with? Because I don't care if you're the most talented. Now, these days, there's so much competition and people are so much more aware of how people behave. And if they're and if they slow you down, no one needs anyone who's going to slow you down, piss people off. It's just not worth it. It's not worth it.
Yeah. You were the one, Sean, who talked about Tina Fey, the 3 a.m.
Yeah, we just said, the 3 a.m. I love that quote.
Walk by you in the hallway.
Waiting room. How do you feel about lateness?
That, I think, is my biggest pet peeve.
Okay, why?
I don't know why. It just drives me nuts.
I know why.
What if someone calls you and says,
That I understand.
So if someone communicates.
Yes. Because there is traffic on Cahuenga or whatever it is. It's a reasonable community. But if you're late, and I don't know, there's something about it that it when people are late, I always say give yourself enough time to do it. And I don't care if you come early, but don't come too early either. Don't come 40 minutes early just because you're too afraid. But I also think that they want that to be reflected on you that I'm so important that I need to come in 10 minutes late because if I were actually going to schedule you at 10 o'clock, I want to see you at 10 o'clock because I'm ready at 10 o'clock.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but when somebody shows up late, it's them saying my time is more important than yours. Time.
Yeah.
It's like being at a doctor's office and he makes you wait an hour and a half. It's like, what?
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. All right. Any quick tips? What's your basic tip if you had to give one for a headshot?
Oh, God. Okay. Where do I start? For me, a headshot is... If you only have one headshot to show me the one that's going to give me the biggest piece of pie, as it were. And your piece of pie means that it shows as broad a range as possible of what it is you can do. So I don't necessarily need to see a small piece of pie in which you would be...
You're making super goofy face or something like
that. Yeah, you're making super goofy face, which means you could only be this character-y guy. Or you could only be the nurse because you have the nurse's uniform on. Or it's the sexy glam shot when really you're not that sexy or glamorous. I don't understand why you need to do that.
Right.
So
it gives
unless
you the
you
essence
are.
Of you.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's all about I love a natural background. I love something that's just kind of natural. I am, like...
Yeah.
You know, as you can probably see, I'm pretty natural. You know, I really, it's all about natural. I mean, I remember Ryan Reynolds' headshot back in the day.
Okay.
You know, and it was just him in a kind of a slouchy suit, you know, no tie, and just kind of leaning against a brick wall in New York City with a cobblestone street. So it was probably down in the meatpacking district or something. It was just I just said, I got to meet that guy. And there are quite a few headshots I remember that are just like, oh my God, they're just like, I want to meet that person because it's so just fresh and new. And I don't like those giant colored backgrounds of like bright yellow or bright orange or bright green or that kind
of David Hockney thing is going on right now.
So what's the David Hockney thing?
Well, just the bright colors in the background.
Because it does nobody. There it is.
Yeah.
His headshot. Oh my God, it's showing on the monitor. I haven't seen that headshot. And I love that headshot.
Was it that far back when he submitted it? Wow. Or was it zoomed in a little bit?
That was his headshot.
Because now they would say you can't see your face.
But
I don't care. I wanted to meet that guy. I just thought, you know what? You're a cool dude.
So it sounds to me like you just want to see somebody in a more natural element and you want to see what they look like.
Yeah,
what does
this
person look like?
And I want to make sure that when you walk in, it's not like what I thought was going to be, you're going to be this person, and then you're completely different.
Yeah.
I mean, that usually happens with women. I don't mean to sound sexist, but,
we're the ones that get, but people hire a makeup artist to do their headshots, and then they don't have a makeup artist when they're going in an audition, so it's how their face never looks.
Right.
It's just that one day that their face looks like that.
Right, and then people worry about whether they cut their hair and they should have, I said, you know, we can kind of, you know, there are wigs and things like that.
Yeah,
so if you cut your hair, you don't need a new headshot. Because headshots are expensive. And I love, I would say sometimes even your best friend, somebody you connect with in the, you know, like your best friend or your uncle or aunt or whoever the photographer in your family, take a picture out in the park in good lighting.
That just reminds us of you.
Yeah.
That gets your essence.
Yeah, exactly. And you can communicate with them instead of feeling like your face is going to be, I need you to do your face this way.
Do you think that you are the norm for this? So that's not what all casting directors are looking for?
You know what? I just know what has worked for us for many years.
And I would say, I would tell my students, it was mostly women. I would go, wow, this is such a beautiful thing, but it's not going above your mantle in your parents' house.
That's exactly what I say.
It's not that. It's not your graduation photo. It's not the marriage. I would say, I just go, I know you. This doesn't remind me of you at all.
Yeah.
Like, just say that right off the bat. All right. So then we also talked about, I know I'm pushing through, but the collaborate. We talked about the dating theory, guys. Listen to my audition thing about the collab. It's a collaboration when you go in. But Lisa and I literally had amazing collaborations every time I come in because she wants me to do well and we have fun. She knows I'm going to bring my choices.
Even as you said that, Lisa just gave a thumbs up under the table. She's like, oh, yeah.
We always have, well, because I'm walking in with something, she's excited to help me find it, to make it fit the project. And it's a collaboration. It's always, and then we talked about the date theory. Talk about what you think about when actors, what is the importance, I guess, about collaborating with you as opposed to, you know, coming in and going, tell me what you need.
Oh, well, okay. I can think of a number of things.
Exactly.
What you say about tell me what you need means that your ego is a little out of control. It means you want me to see you do it twice.
Right.
So don't come into my office, saying, I prepared it two ways, because that means that you want me to see it twice.
Right.
And, you know, that's purely your ego talking.
Do people say that to you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's like, and also I know that you didn't make a strong choice. You didn't make a strong selection about, you know, who your character was going to be. If I see some potential in you in the first 30 seconds of any audition or whether you know whether the person is right or not, I'm happy to rework it and say try it this way or do it that way to go closer to what the director and the producers are looking for. But if I don't see that kind of, if I see that you're too rigid and you only want to come in and do, you know, the one way or the other way, but you've got it two ways and they were really good, I only want to see it one way. And that gives me, but you know, at our office, there's this imaginary sign over the door that says you're here to succeed, not to fail.
Yeah.
So we totally love actors. We want you to get the part. We really do. And so
this is what I said in my podcast, guys. I guess it's bad for their business. If they send a tape to a director with a bunch of terrible actors, they're going to go, we'll never hire this casting director again. They want you to do well. It makes no sense. Why would a store open up and sell products that were all bad. They right. wouldn't. They want you to be, do a good job.
And there's so many times when there's such great actors and they just have so, I mean, we love having fun with actors. We love auditioning actors. Oh, I think that's so definitely fun. My favorite part of
the...
I
love it. I love coming in your office.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys are a very cute duo.
We're on a blue date.
We're on a blue date. Look at that. What a good date.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then what about this idea that, you know, actors always personalize it if it goes back? Oh, here's the other thing. Sorry. You've known me. You see us singing each other's praises. I come in. I have a bad audition. Something, you know, I didn't have enough time, or maybe even not that, just something maybe going on in my life. Something with my family, something. You're right. Exactly. Where does the bad audition of an actor fall? Like, if you've never met them before and then you have a bad audition, will you never see them again?
Oh, no. No, yes, I mean, absolutely not. No, I mean, I would never, I would always give someone, I think it's more how you act as a human being. You know, be good humans as, you know, what are their names? The radio DJs used to call it. Be good humans.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead. Well, I was just going to say, just like we were saying, if you come in and you're, well, I was really nervous or I was really sick and excuse, and then you give a bad audition versus someone who's really nice, really personable, saying, I'm just excited, I've done a lot of stuff, and and then they give a bad audition, you're going to care about the person who was more centered and fine and a good person that might have just had a bad audition versus...
Because their ego was involved in the first one. I did this, and you know, making excuses is your bad part of your ego. Trying to screw you up, and that happens. A lot.
Yes.
And you've got to overcome that. You've got to kind of work with your inner child.
Honestly, totally
do your work. Be with your inner child and tell, you know, your bad part to just go pound salt.
Yeah. What do you do if you're an actor who has a bad audition? Would you prefer them to reach out and say, I'm sorry that this was my best afterwards? You prefer them to say nothing and just submit again if a role is appropriate? What should somebody do?
Well, ultimately, that would still be an excuse, but I would much rather if their agent were to call or agent said
they didn't feel their best, can we send you a self-tape?
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
I'm totally happy to do it. Sarah and I, you know, we have our system worked out where basically we see a lot of people in the morning, so we do have live stuff, but we also have found that we get so many self-tapes that that's basically what our afternoons are of watching self-tapes, and we know within 30 seconds whether they are right for the part or not. So it's easier. We can probably, if we can see 50 people in the morning, we could see 100 people in the afternoon.
Right.
We can watch 100 tapes in the afternoon.
Right.
And
is that how many tapes you're watching in one afternoon?
There are a lot of tapes. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it depends on how many roles we have.
Baby.
And when we get submissions, we literally get at least 1,000 people submitted for every single role, look at every single submission, but boy, there's a lot of actors out there.
Right. Well, when I coach, I say, you know, they'll start a little flat or whatever, and I go, guys, this is the moment that they see you.
We 30 can't seconds.
I said, I'd rather have you walk in on audition and say to them, can I have a second to prepare? Right. I said, no casting director is going to go, are you kidding me? Of course, they're going to say that they understand that you're trying to get to the energy that you need to happen in a thing. And I go, so in a self-tape, you must do the same thing.
Exactly.
I go, because they're going to turn it on. And if you don't have it and you're going to be, you go, oh, well, I'm going to build and I'm going to give it to them in the last minute. I go, then you'll never get to the last minute if you don't have it coming right off the gate. So that's really important as well. So I love you've kind of gone over your do's and don'ts. You've kind of saying, you know, don't have ego.
Oh, boy, yeah.
Do collaborate.
Leave it on the other side of the door.
Do be on time. Do be have a great attitude and just be a fun, creative, humble person, right?
A professional.
Yeah.
Imagine it's a job interview.
Yeah.
But it's a fun job interview.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And as far as one more thing about auditions, if you want to, you know, what we always say is you can sit down, you can stand up, you can hang from the chandelier. I don't care how you do it. However you want to do the audition, it's your audition, it's your time. Don't bring in a samurai sword, which happened once during an audition. I then went and bought the samurai sword from the guy because I thought it was so cool. But he actually went and he bought a samurai sword and he said it was $40. I said, all right, I'll give you $40 until it hangs in my office. But I remember when he was in our little office, which is smaller than
this studio, and
he was flailing it away and it was just like, that's inappropriate.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's
a little much.
Well, at least they didn't kiss your feet. We heard
Victoria Burris told a story where someone like went over there and like was kissing her feet or something for a thing. And she was like, boundaries.
Yeah, wow.
Oh, boy.
Didn't get the part of it.
Yeah, did not.
Yeah.
So we have time for our story from the set, which is we both got to work with Wes Craven, and you got to work on 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
What was your... We were talking about him. Mm. He's just... This is a man who has psychotic, scary, bloody things in his creative work, but we both said we're talking about him as a person.
He was the most honorable man. I mean, I love the directors I've worked with. Yeah. I have been so honored, but Wes Craven was a man among men, and he was so fair about women's rights and about so International Women's Day. I didn't think about him, but I will now make a special homage to him because he was always so. He was fantastic with actors. I loved him to death. He was smarter. He's so well-read.
So
he was so smart and so humble, but, you know, creative. And just that whole team, that family. We really were a family for a long time.
They're just a sweet, sweet group of people.
Yeah.
And you know, the other thing is horror movies they're finally getting some love, you know, thanks to Jordan Peele and a bunch of other people. But... I told you he reminds me of Rob because they just want Rob Zombie. Sorry, name drop. Sorry, did you pick that up? But they both wanted good acting in their horror movies.
That's exactly right.
Way back, it wasn't just, you know, a couple girls with their boobs out, some blood and blah, no, he wanted good acting.
Yes, he did.
He always wanted good acting.
And I can still remember when Matthew Lillard came in and auditioned. It was just like, oh my God, you're so good. You could just tell this kid was just an extraordinary talent. Those are the moments we had a lot on all the Scream movies.
Yeah, all the Screams. Yeah. Your casts were phenomenal.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it was really great. We'll have to have you back to more stuff because this is just, it's all so good.
Boy, do I have stories.
Oh my gosh.
I know
she
does.
You can't see that at the end.
It's a good tease. See, it wasn't that bad. Podcasting wasn't that bad.
I'm just trying to figure what color I'm wearing next.
Yeah. There you go.
This is the color.
Well, we had the blue date. We've always had good dates in terms of auditions, and so we had to coordinate even unknowingly.
Yeah.
It was the vision board. There you go.
I think we're cutting almost, in 1 second.
Oh,
Sean's taking us
second.
Out of here.
I'm taking us out of here.
Okay.
So, thank you, Lisa, obviously. If you have social media, do you want people to follow you or anything like that?
No, my Facebook is usually for people I've dated or had dinner with.
Okay. So, where can we find you, Roxy?
Everywhere at Roxy Stryer.
Jeff, Mr. Fantabulous.
I've got to figure out how to split my Instagram and Twitter. But if you want to follow me, go to my Instagram at Jeffrey Crane Graham. How's that?
And then I am everywhere at Sean Whalen Actor, except on TikTok, it's at Sean Whalen 19. And there's an explanation for that was actually pretty good from somebody. So,
okay.
So that's where you can find me. And as always, thank you for letting me be part of your journey.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world. And we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.